royal priesthood. And I believe this is a very important, crucial topic in the Bible, in the whole Bible. And to start with, let us read Exodus chapter 19. In these verses, we can see that God has a plan with His people. When God brought His people out of Egypt, He didn't just save them, but He had a plan with His people. You know, we have to realize that God is a wonderful God. The Bible started by saying, in the beginning, God created everything. And most wonderfully, He created man. Man is the most wonderful of all God's creation. Can you imagine if there is no human beings on this earth? There won't be any Toronto today, right? You cannot have a city just with a lot of wonderful plants and some animals, right? You won't be able to have a wonderful city like Toronto. Only man could really build up such a wonderful city. Because the Bible says when God created man, He made man in His own image, in His likeness. So man is very special. We should not think that man is just one among many creations. Right? And Moses read a verse just a moment ago in chapter 2, verse 10, right? That God's plan is to bring many sons to glory. And here in Hebrews chapter 2, it says sons. That means man's destiny is not just to be man, but to become sons of God. And this is really wonderful. That is why when God created man, He made man according to His image. Right? If I see you, my knees, of course, right? Immediately, I can see my sister, right? You can see the image, right? If I see, quite a few people here, I see your daughter there, right? I see Tabea there, and immediately, I can see Muchang. Right, I can see Mu Qiang and I can see Yuan Xian because they were born of the parents. Right, so man was created in God's image. You should ask why. Why did the Bible, in the very beginning of the Bible, in chapter 1, it's written, when God made man, He says, let us make man according to our image, in our likeness. That is why man is so intelligent, right? Man has a wonderful will. He can decide what he wanted to do. There is a wonderful emotion in man. And it's written, when God breathed the breath of life into man, man became a living soul. And so here you can realize that from the very beginning, God's intention is to put His life into us and to make us into sons of God, to become sons of God. It is not very simple to be a son of God. You know, tonight we didn't have time to get into many of the verses, right? That is why in the Bible you have the concept of being born again. Right? In our first birth, you got your human life from your parents. That's why you look like your mom. Definitely, right? Because you got your human life from your parents. That is the first birth. And the Lord Jesus said, what is born of the flesh is flesh. Meaning to say, what is born of man is man. Right? Here you have a dog. Suddenly, a dog is born from another dog. So, it looks exactly like the mother dog. Right? Now, we are born of our human parents, so we look like our parents. But that is not enough. The Lord said, you must be born again the second time. And this second birth is from above. You must be born of the Spirit of God. So that means if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God will enter into your spirit. And your spirit will be made alive and you'll be born of God. That's the second birth. 第一次还不够，要第二次。 Right. In the first birth, you receive your human life. But in the second birth, you receive the divine life of God, the Spirit of God coming into your spirit to make you into a son of God. And this is man's destiny, to be a son of God. But then, in this verse that Moses just read, after you are born of God, you need to be perfected. You need to be led into glory. It's not enough just to be saved and to have His life within you, but you don't grow spiritually. My two granddaughters were sitting here, right? Look. You look like me, right? A little bit. Of course, I'm the grandpa. But you know, when they were born, they were so tiny. Babies. It took my oldest granddaughter 18 years now to be in university there. 19 only. Sorry. 19. No, I'm sorry. You're 19 now. Going to college. It takes 19 years for her to really mature, to grow. And she had a lot of things to learn as a human being. Now, don't you think spiritually, for God to lead us into glory, that He doesn't need to train us, to really perfect us? Let me read to you a verse in Hebrews chapter 6. But before we go to chapter 6, let us go to chapter 5. The book of Hebrews was telling the Hebrew believers at that time that they didn't grow, they didn't go on in their spiritual life. Beginning in verse 12, right? maybe you can read it to us. I have a different version. Yeah.
Chapter 5, verse 12.
Beginning in verse 12, yes. Read it slowly, yeah.
For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God.
Yes.
And you have come to need milk and not solid food.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
He is a babe. So this concept that spiritually, we as children of God must grow is very much in the Bible. Not only here, in the book of Ephesians and in 1 Corinthians. So we need to grow. We need to mature. Now continue, please.
But solid food belongs to those who are of full age.
Yes.
That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Right. The more we grow, the more we can discern. But not only that, then go on to chapter 6, verse 1.
Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ.
Elementary principles. Well, even in our spiritual life, to learn this wonderful Christ, you start with elementary principles. But unfortunately, many Christians, many of us believers, remain in that elementary level. Year after year, you just hear about salvation, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized into Him, and just remaining in that elementary principles. Don't do that, right? We shouldn't. We should grow. Okay, continue.
Let us go on to perfection.
Go on to perfection.
Amen. Right. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, mm-hmm, and of
faith toward God. Right.
Of the doctrine of baptisms, mm-hmm, laying on of hands, mm-hmm, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And this we will do if God permits.
Amen. That's right. We have to go on. Since we're born again and born of God, that is just the first step. Yes, we are saved. We receive His life within us. But then there is a lot of work that God needs to do within our being, like the song that we sang, that He has to do His work within us to bring us on to maturity, right, to perfection here. In other words, like in chapter 2 says, to bring us into glory. You know, many Christians believe after I'm saved, okay, I'll just wait until one day I go to heaven. That's what they think. But they didn't realize that after we became children of God, God became our Father. He has a lot of work to do in us. Let's go to chapter 12. Right, let's go to chapter 12. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is a really wonderful book. It's not milk. It is solid food in Hebrews chapter 12. Right. And here it says we have to firstly look unto Jesus in verse 2, right? Okay, maybe you can read again. Yes. Beginning in verse 1.
Mm-hmm. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses,
which is mentioned in chapter 11, okay,
let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us,
mm-hmm,
and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
The race that is set before us. There is a race. The writer of Hebrews likened unto our Christian life as a race, like the Olympic race. If you're not used to running and exercise every day and train yourself, you cannot participate in the Olympic. Right? How about you, Kyle? You think you can participate in the running race in the Olympic?
Not good enough.
Not good enough. You cannot. You can run, no doubt about it. But to run the race, that's something else. Sorry?
12 meters a second.
Amazing. Right. Amazing. Amazing. So you need a lot of training. And hey, but many of us Christians, we don't think we need any training. We'll just, live a normal life and that's it. No, but here You're running a race. How many meters a second?
12.
Wow. Goodness. How are you going to do that without practice? You're a swimmer, right? How fast can you swim?
Not fast enough to make it to the Olympics.
Not fast enough to make it to the Olympics. We want to make it to the kingdom. Right. Later on, we will see here a holy and royal priesthood. The Bible uses the word royal. That means God's intention is to make us kings, to co-reign with Christ over the nations when he comes back. The kingdom. So, how are you going to be trained to reach this wonderful goal? Okay, please continue.
Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him
endured the cross, despising the shame,
and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. The Lord Jesus, as a human being, he became a man, right, to accomplish redemption for us. But the goal is for him as a man to end up on his throne of God above. Right. And this is where God, who now gave us his life and we became his children, to be sitting with him on his throne. So the Lord did not just die on a cross, but he rose again, and then he ascended, and today he's sitting on the throne. And this is our goal. That's why we need to look unto Jesus. He is the author, the originator, and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. You have to realize that our faith has a beginning, and the Lord is the originator of this faith. And then he is also the perfecter, the finisher. So there's a process that we all have to go through. Don't think that, oh, I just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saved, and that's it. No, that's just the beginning. It's kindergarten. At most, first grade. And you have to go through elementary school, high school, college, and perhaps doing your master's. And after that, you can go up higher, you can go and do your PhD, and even post-grad. There's no end to that. Right. And if, and you have to think about it, if in your human life you need so much training to reach the goal, it depends on what is your goal, then how much more in our spiritual life? You think God does not have a goal for us? The Bible says, as children of God, as sons of God, we become heirs of God. You know how rich God is? He owns, he created the whole universe. And one day, we are to rule over all of God's creation as the children of God, as sons of God. Now, even in Hebrews chapter 2, it says that. Let us read. Now, let me read it to you, okay? In Hebrews chapter 2. You have to realize that what Christ has accomplished, not only on the cross is for our salvation, for our redemption. But the work of Christ did not end there. Remember, he rose again from the dead. And after he rose again, the Bible says he became the life-giving spirit to enter into us. To be our life. And as a man, he ascended to the throne. And this is the goal that God wants to accomplish with Christ. The cross is just the beginning. But the goal is the throne. Before we go to chapter 2, let me just read to you chapter 1 first, okay? Sorry. Chapter 1, verse 3. Right. Of course, verse 3, it says, Christ is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, the nature of God, who upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, namely on the cross, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That was the goal. Now, why do I read this to you tonight? Because this is the very purpose why God created man. Let us now go to chapter 2. Right. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, for He, who is God, did not subject to angels the world to come. Hey, that means in the coming age, there's a world to come. In the coming age, concerning which we are speaking, he says. But someone has testified somewhere in the Bible, and that is Psalm here, chapter 8, Psalm 8, saying, what is man that you remember him, you think about him? Or the Son of Man that thou hast concerned about him. Meaning to say, why is man so important in God's plan? You are very important in God's plan. You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. Meaning to say here in the whole context of flesh because of this body. We are lower, a little bit lower than the angels. But here, you have crowned him with glory and honor. And you have appointed him over the works of your hands. And you have put all things in subjection under his feet. This is man's purpose. This is the reason why God has created man. But then, in order to accomplish all this, you have to be born again to become sons of God. Otherwise, you cannot reach this goal. Okay, now you read in your, in verse 8.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him.
No, that means right now you don't see the fulfillment of that yet. Because we're not perfected yet. Right? If you want to be a computer science, now you're not yet. Right? Or are you already? Not yet. But you're on the way. Maybe in a couple of years. You graduate, then you will be qualified. But now, not yet. Right? Okay, continue.
Verse 9.
But we see Jesus. Now you have to see this wonderful Jesus. Okay?
Who was made a little lower than the angels.
Just like us, becoming a man, right?
For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor.
Crowned now with glory and honor in the throne.
That he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone.
Right. And then you continue in verse 10.
For it was fitting for him, for whom
are all things, and through whom are all things.
In bringing many sons to glory.
Right.
The captain of their salvation.
Perfect through sufferings. Okay, continue.
For both he who sanctifies,
which is Christ,
and those who are being sanctified,
which are we,
are all of one.
All of one, and meaning to say all of one Father, one Source.
For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Now we are the brethren of Christ. Can you imagine? Because through resurrection, Christ as a man was constituted the firstborn Son of God. And we became his many brethren. That means we will be made the same as he is. Praise the Lord. Why am I saying this? You may ask, what does it have to do with the topic? Because this topic shows us the way that God is going to perfect us to reach his goal. Without a priesthood, you cannot make it. It is this wonderful royal priesthood. And today we are made priests of God and kings, co-kings with Christ. And this priesthood will eventually perfect you and all of us to reach this wonderful goal. Yeah. And here, let me just read to you, because Hebrews shows us what our Lord Jesus Christ today has achieved in the heavens today. Right? Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 1. After he, of course, ascended on high and he sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. It says here in verse 6, chapter 1. Oh, of course, even before that, chapter 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, Thou art my son, today I've begotten you? That means the Lord Jesus Christ here now as the firstborn Son of God, as a man. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. This is really wonderful, to be able to call our God our Father. This wonderful God wants to be your Father. A wonderful Father. Right? And then he says here, and when he again brings the firstborn into the world. Now, the only begotten Son of God became the firstborn Son of God through his death and resurrection. He said, let all the angels of God worship him. Right? and it says, of the angels, he said, he made his angels ministers. Right? As servants, ministering us, serving us. But of the Son, he says in verse 3, verse 8, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. For you love righteousness, and you hated lawlessness. So, what a wonderful Christ today. And he is establishing his kingdom. And the Bible says he's going to bring his kingdom down to this earth. That is why the Lord is coming again. the second time. The first time he came, it was for redemption. But his second coming, he's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule over the nations on this earth. I think every one of us, or many of us, have heard of the Lord's Prayer, right? Right? You know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And what's the next verse? Really? Thy kingdom come? You believe that? Now, when is his kingdom going to come? Is that your concern? Do you pray about that? Father, we want to see your kingdom coming to this earth. And the wonderful thing is, if you are a faithful one, you will be ruling with Christ as co-kings over the nations in his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth here. So the Lord is coming back again, the second time. 我们的主耶稣会再来的。 Now when he comes again, are you qualified to rule with him? This is a big question. It's a $1 million question. Now $1 million doesn't mean anything. It's a $1 billion question. Maybe a $1 trillion question. What are you going to do when the Lord comes back? Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? That's what they thought. But the Lord is coming back to this earth to rule, to bring his kingdom down. That is why I have such a burden, and I couldn't get away from this topic. Right? Because it is so important. This is the main topic in the Bible. This is the goal. The goal is the kingdom. And God's desire and his plan is to bring his rule, his kingdom, down to this earth. You know, just for your information, just very recently, the news came out that in Israel, in Jerusalem, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem is now preparing and planning to build the third temple, which is described in the book of Ezekiel. You remember the Ezekiel conference? Oh yeah, you better remember that. Because a lot of people want to throw that away. Ezekiel, it doesn't mean anything to us. It won't help us. Throw it away. Forget about it. All the measurement, blah, blah, blah. Forget about it. You want to forget about it? It's up to you. You may. But it's written in the Bible. It's written in the Bible. Right? So, whatever is written here in the Bible is going to be fulfilled. Not just some kind of a doctrine or teaching in the Bible. Right? So, you can really see that back to this point, right, the Lord today is sitting on the throne here. Look at the kingdoms of this earth today. There is no righteousness. So much corruption. So terrible. So much corruption, lawlessness. When I just look at the election in the United States today, oh my goodness. I thought, what on earth is going on here? no righteousness, lawless everywhere. But here we see that somebody sitting on the throne above who loves righteousness and hates lawlessness. And his scepter is a scepter of uprightness. He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, what about us? You don't care for holiness. You don't care for righteousness. You don't care for the glory of the Lord. You don't care to mature in life, the truth. Right? And so here, this later on, you will really see at the end of this weekend that the priesthood, the holy and the royal priesthood, is the way God is going to use to train us that we will reach the goal. Without which, I don't think you can make it. Right? So, may the Lord really open our eyes today. He is the King. Now, not only a king, but he is also our high priest. You know, today, right there in the heavenlies, before the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ is a great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Ah, Lord Jesus. Right. Let us read chapter 7. Now, tonight, of course, I don't want you to be sitting here too long, okay? Or you'll be falling asleep. I hope not. But anyway, surely you may sleep because you went to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. We got lost going to the airport to pick up George, and so we came home after 3 o'clock. Anyway, so Shirley, you can go to sleep. Now, it's very important for you to realize what our Lord is doing today in the heavenlies. Okay, what he accomplished to the cross, everybody knows. He died on the cross, shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all our sins, for our redemption, etc., right? Everybody knows that. But what is he doing up there today? Ah, first of all, he's sitting on the throne of at the right hand of the majesty on high. Right? And then he is also the great high priest. Now, chapter 7 says, for this Melchizedek, remember Melchizedek, right? He is the priest who appeared to Abraham many, many years ago, centuries and millennia ago, right? King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoil. Now, first of all, the meaning of the word Melchizedek by translation is the King of Righteousness. Praise the Lord. How important this word righteousness is to us. And then also King of Salem, which is interpreted King of Peace. Wonderful, because without righteousness there will be no peace. There will be war. That's why peace and righteousness are a wonderful pair, like a husband and wife. Of course, it has to be a perfect husband and perfect wife. Without righteousness, there won't be any peace, okay? So there should be righteousness and peace. Right? And then it says, look, it's really wonderful to tell you, actually, our Lord Jesus Christ was the very God himself. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but was made like the Son of God, and he abides a priest perpetually, eternally, forever. So today, the Lord in the heavens is not only the king sitting on the throne, but he is also a priest, the great high priest to help us. You have to realize this is, don't think our Lord didn't have anything to do with. Today in the heaven, he is just, what is he doing there? No, Hebrews says, as the king sitting on the throne, he is waiting until all of his enemies will become his footstool. There are so many enemies of the Lord today. Not only the visible enemies, but the invisible especially. Principalities and powers, Satan himself, the deceiver of this world, right? The devil, the ancient serpent. Right? The Lord today is working to make them his footstool. Now, John, you think the Lord cannot do it? How come it takes so long for him to do it? Why? Have you ever asked why? If this job is just to be done by him himself, he already won the victory, actually. But today, he's the head, we are his body. The Bible says, the church is the body of Christ. There's no problem with him as the head, but there's a lot of problem with us. The problem is not with him as the one sitting on the throne, but the problem is with every one of us sitting here. That's the problem. And if we are not perfected, if we are just as unrighteous as the people in the world, how can the Lord make all his enemies his footstool? You tell me. Then we will have to become his footstool. Yes, this is the whole point. Right? But praise the Lord, he's not only the king, now he's also the great high priest. And it says here, of course, we cannot read all the verses tonight, otherwise you will be staying here until midnight, right? But it says he, as our great high priest, is able to help us. Right? Now, today the church is his kingdom. Otherwise, how can a king be without a kingdom, you tell me? And how can a great high priest just being a priest alone and there's no priesthood? No, that's why in the Old Testament days you have Aaron. But is Aaron the only priest? No, he's the high priest. The high priest, there can only be one, okay? But he has many sons, the whole priesthood, Aaron and his sons. So today, Christ up there on the throne as the perpetual priest, as our great heavenly high priest, he needs to build up a priesthood amongst us. What is he doing as a great high priest? What is the professor doing? Being a professor at the University in Toronto, suppose he's a physicist, a physics professor. What is he doing as a physics professor?
Teaching his students.
To be what?
To be physicists.
To be physicists. Of course. Not to be athletes. No, or musicians, or artists. No. Christ, as a great heavenly high priest, what do you think he is doing as a great heavenly high priest? To make you an artist, a designer. I just found out you're a wonderful designer. Right? But hey, you know, it is to train the whole wonderful, holy and royal priesthood. And that is what he's doing today. But nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about that. Do you care about that? I know a lot of people who even oppose to it. Right? So, may the Lord open your eyes tonight. Just by this introduction, right? To really see how important this matter is. Right? Today, it says in chapter 7, he is able to save us to the uttermost. Right. You can read it yourself here. A wonderful priesthood. Yeah. He is really wonderful. He can save us to the uttermost. Now, before we end this meeting, let us just read a couple of verses in the book of Revelation, and we stop. I don't want to keep you here too long, okay? Yeah. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Let me just read to you. Verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, because our God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," right? And verse 5 talks about Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Hey, listen, the Lord today is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Don't look down on this, right? To him who loves us and released us, set us free from our sins by his own blood. Now verse 6 is wonderful. And made us to be kings and priests to his God and Father. Or other translation says, to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. This is the goal of God saving us, to make you kings and priests. Because this is God's way. This is his purpose. This is the ultimate, right at the end of the Bible. The stress and the emphasis is God's goal is to make us kings and priests. Because when the kingdom comes, what are you going to do? Right? And chapter 5 again. Right. 9 and 10. Would you read it to us?
And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation."
Amen.
"And have made us kings and priests to our God."
Amen.
"And we shall reign on the earth."
And what? We shall
reign on the earth.
No kidding. Really? You believe that? You better, because it is written here. So, for those who do not know the Lord Jesus yet, or have not yet received the Lord Jesus and baptized into Him, I would encourage you to quickly do so. Otherwise, you're going to miss the most wonderful purpose in your life. And for those who are already saved and have been a Christian for so many years, I really encourage you to be trained by the Lord through the holy and royal priesthood, so that when He comes, we will be fully qualified to reign with Him on the earth. It's up to you. It's your choice. But I just want to let you know what the Word of God says. Amen. I think it's good for tonight, right? So that you won't suffer there sitting too long. Praise the Lord. Let's have some prayers.